As coronavirus ravages our economy, thousands of Georgians are forced to file for unemployment at a record rate.
95.5 WSB brings you experts with helpful information and advice to go through the process.
Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. Here's Scott Slade.
Joined this morning by Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler, who's likely the busiest guy in the state again today. Commissioner, thanks for taking some time to be with us this morning. We sure appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
And Mark Arum joins us as well. In the headline this morning, Mark, another 165,000 initial jobless claims filed in Georgia. And, you know, I imagine a lot of people have some questions.
Yeah, my first question before we get to the nuts and bolts of it, I mean, the unprecedented time for your folks, how are the employees that are dealing with this massive surge, how are they doing handling all these requests and all the information from the public?
Kind of depends. I mean, we are, seeing some signs of stress. We've been seeing some signs of stress for a while now. When you're talking about working at the pace that we have been basically since the second week in March, 7 days a week, very long hours. I think they were holding up pretty good for the first maybe month and a half, but this last month we've definitely seen some folks starting to kind of show some signs of stress, and we've also had some illnesses that have popped up here and there, and some other issues. But overall, I mean, they're still chipping away at it and been gaining some ground here in the last few weeks. So, I mean, they're in it for the long haul. But here lately, we have been having to on some employees, we have been insisting that they do take a little downtime, especially when we start looking at their timesheets and seeing how long and how many hours are been putting in, because this is not going to go away in the next month or so, and we need them to stay healthy and stay fresh as long as we can.
Well, that's for sure. And needless to say, did I hear this metric right last night? You were talking to Justin Farmer and Channel 2, Commissioner, that y'all went basically from, 20,000 claims in a month to, what, millions?
Yes. If you go back and look for the last couple of years, matter of fact, one of the things we were touting all through last year was the record low amount of claims. And by the way, claims is the metric that is used for our funding formula out of the federal government, which is where we get most of our money. So that means we also had the fewest, least amount of dollars and the lowest amount of staff. But we were averaging around 20,000 and some months even less. Matter of fact, we had one month this past fall, can't remember if it was October or September, that we had the fewest amount of claims recorded in a one-month period that we had seen since like 1974. And so we went from something like that to something you can't compare to anything. I mean, in a short amount of time you had 1.2 million claims filed, and now we're over 2 million claims filed in the span of a couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get into some of the more of the numbers here, but in case folks have to tune away this morning, I wanted to give you a chance to speak directly to folks in the state of Georgia, where now what we have like at least one out of three members of the Georgia workforce applying for benefits. What are the questions you and your staff are getting most often from folks now?
Well, I guess the number one question would be, how long is it going to take? We try to give a standard answer when you can, but the problem is, the standard answer is going to be for the perfect case, where everything goes cleanly, you did everything right on your end, and there's no issues with your claim. So we hear that a lot too. But we're working at them every single day, processing claims. Please be patient. Understand that if you're filing an individual claim, it's not going to, get processed in a week or two. I mean, it takes, under normal circumstances, for the entire process to happen for an individual claim to be filed, it used to take about 21 days. We're running about 30, 35 days right now, due to the fact that, you're going from 20,000 claims to, we're sitting here working on 2 million claims. The good news is for Georgia is, we're outpacing most states when it comes to actually processing and paying. If you take a look at right now, the people that have a valid claim and that have requested payment, as of yesterday, we were at like 87% paying out right now. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good number considering the workload that we've been dealing with.
Back up, just explain that if you would there. What do you mean by 87% paying out? And that's assuming it's a valid claim, which means it's not fraudulent or duplicated or has other troubles. Is that what you mean?
Right. Well, see, when you have a valid claim, that means it's attached to actual income, and the person that filed for it is the person, because all these different checks that have to happen when somebody files a claim, obviously the first one we have to do is make sure you are who you say you are, and that we can verify that. We use like three different methods, so that way we don't have people using stolen identity to file for claims, which we have had some attempts on that. And then we also have to go and check, see if you paid any of your wages reported on you to us, and unemployment taxes paid on you. And that's like for a regular claim. And so once we get through that whole process, and then also we, you also get to another part of it where you're actually sitting there talking to or contacting the employer to make sure that, they don't have a problem with you filing unemployment. Because, you do, even right now, you're going to have some cases where somebody may have gotten fired for cause. And they may have a valid claim, but it's not going to pay out because, let's say somebody stole from the company and whatever, or something like that. I mean, they may have a valid claim as far as being attached to somebody, but it's not going to pay out because, they weren't let go because of COVID-19 or because of a layoff. And so that valid number is the ones that we, that are attached to somebody, that they do have the wages and it can be paid out. But even right now, we're still having issues with a lot of people that do have valid claims and actually could be paid out that haven't requested their payment. I think as of yesterday, we're still hovering right around between the self-employed system and the regular unemployment system, somewhere around 40,000 or 45,000 people that could be getting payments right now, but they're not going in and certifying each week that they've been unemployed, which you have to tell us. That you've been unemployed a particular week. We don't just keep sending you checks until you tell us to stop. At the end of every week, you go, okay, I wasn't able to work, and they certify that, and then we send that payment. So we've got about 40,000 people right now that are probably calling every day wondering where their payment is, and they just haven't certified.
I see. They have to check back in. Okay, Mark Arum, are you still with us here? Okay, I thought we had Mark here just for a second. Well, that's really something. So people actually do have to get back into the system every time that they file a valid claim. Is Mark with us? Is that right?
Scott, I'm sorry. Quick question, Commissioner Butler. A lot of folks that I know have been furloughed short time, a week or 2 weeks, and they're not sure if they're eligible to file a claim for that week or 2 weeks that they were furloughed. Is that allowed under the law?
Yes. It would have been much better if their employer would have filed on their behalf, because the employer can do this. Georgia's unique when it comes to this. Other states don't have this, but the employer could have filed for those individuals and said, all right, they're still our employees. All right, we're not separating from them, but we can't pay them because of whatever situation, which in this case would be COVID-19. And the employer could have filed and told us all this, and they actually could have gotten paid very quickly. Employer filed claims, as long as there's not an issue with the individual's records with us, they can pay out in about 7 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Rather than 30 to 35 days. That's quite amazing.
That's why we were able to pay out a lot of our claims faster than other states, is because we do have that employer. And I know this is going to seem complicated, and it may not make sense to the public sometimes, but the big part of the work is verifying the identity and verifying the wages and all that. And also for the last, 10 or 12 days or so of that process, we're trying to get in contact and talk to the employer, and they're giving their input about whether or not they agree with somebody's claim being filed. But when the employer does the employer filing, basically 75% of that work is already done. It's almost like pre-certified. It happens much faster because the employer has already said, yes, this person works for me. And because, they have their social security number, and they're basically vouching for that employee as far as identity and everything else goes. And also, they've been reporting their wages. And so everything matches up, and they're saying, yes, please pay this person unemployment. So they've already said, yes, we agree. And so the process happens way faster. Matter of fact, I wish all layoffs all the time were handled that way, because the process would go much faster. And we're actually, because we do this in Georgia, it's also because of the pandemic, our employer file system has actually started to get some interest from around the nation because of how we did it.
It streamlines everything, it sounds like. But what kind of worker do if the boss bucks the system and says, no, we're not going to file for anybody. You're on your own here. Is there anything you can do to compel them to play ball?
Well, yeah, we actually did put a really big carrot in this, and we told all the employers, if you had to close down because of COVID-19 and you filed on the behalf of your employees, that we would not charge back your account. In English, that means that we would not, like, unemployment insurance is insurance, and so the account, every employer has an account because they're the ones that are paying the taxes on it. Mm-hmm. And so every time there's a claim, it goes against that account, and then their unemployment tax rate gets higher. Well, we told them that if you filed on behalf of your employees, then we would not charge your account. And so, therefore, that's a pretty big incentive, especially if you ended up going from maybe 3% unemployment tax to 12%, if you ended up having a very large layoff over a long period of time. I mean, that could save you a lot of money. That's a pretty big incentive. And 75% of all the claims that were filed were employer-filed claims. So, anyway, that was a big help.
So we have Thomas in Snellville asking, he's not received any benefits after he was approved. And your advice to him is to make sure he's actually asked for the benefit once he found out he was approved?
Yes. And also make sure he checks his emails, make sure that we haven't requested additional information from him. Like, for example, some kind of identifying or Social Security, maybe something didn't match up. But claiming those weeks, and there's two different systems now, because when Congress passed the CARES Act, they included the self-employed gig worker, the PUA unemployment. It has its own certification system just for those workers because it's a different set of criteria. And then you have regular unemployment has a certification system, and all this is found online. You log in there, make sure you're certified for your weeks.
Okay. Thomas is actually online with us this morning. Hey, buddy, did that answer your question from the labor commissioner?
Well, unfortunately not. I do fall under the gig worker, my benefits were allowed on May the 5th, and I still have not received any monies at all, and I have been certifying under the UI and the PUA both.
Yeah, don't certify under the regular UI. Only certify under the PUA. There's no reason to certify under the regular UI because you're not in that system. You may have an old claim in that. Did you just file just the PUA claim? And, well, obviously you did a regular claim first and then the PUA claim, correct? And that's all.
Correct. But part of the problem might be I missed the first 8 weeks of the PUA, went back in and redid it. But I have been filing under the UI and the PUA both, and that might be my problem.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that you also had a valid regular unemployment claim that you actually
paid for? Yes, sir. I've been certified for $276 a week for 39 weeks, and that was on May the 5th, and I haven't even received that, much less the PUA.
Okay, I think what we have is terminology confused. So now PUA is just for gig workers, self-employed workers. Do you have a W-2 job?
No, sir. I only work 1099.
Okay. Well, that amount you told me is kind of odd because the minimum amount you should be getting is $149 on PUA. In your case, if you've been certifying, when did you finish and complete the PUA application?
Oh, I did that when it was first sent to me because y'all did say I was eligible for it. I filled that out when I first had it. And like I say, the benefits.
When did you get that done, Thomas? That was the question he had for you.
Yes.
What date?
May the 5th. Yes.
Okay. And then when you receive a confirmation that you'd been approved for a particular amount, when did you get that?
On May the 5th. The same day I filed, boom, it was there, and I was amazed it was so quick, but I still haven't received any benefit.
Okay. So you're probably still in the process of them verifying the information that you sent us, and I'm assuming you did email us all of your income verification data, right?
Yes, sir. I did email my 1099. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So this is probably just in the process. The problem with the PUA stuff is a lot of that's manual process. And I do know that right now we've actually gotten it down to, and I know this seems like a very large number, but we've gotten it down to 12,000 claims on the PUA side that need to be verified. And you may be in that bucket right there.
We're with Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler. Commissioner, explain what PUA is for people who may not be following along.
Well, when Congress passed the CARES Act, and they decided that they were going to extend unemployment benefits to individuals who normally would not be eligible to get unemployment benefits. And one of those buckets is self-employed. A lot of people think that that you pay unemployment taxes in your paycheck, but that's not right. Actually, unemployment taxes are paid by employers on their employees. And so if you're self-employed, unless you have gone to the trouble to set up an account with the Georgia Department of Labor, and you're paying taxes on yourself to us and reporting your wages to us, you don't exist in our system. And so Congress decided they want to extend that to those and also people with limited work history. And after that happened, you know, we had to wait for them to come up with the rules and regulations because we had never done that before. It was not something that we were designed for. Matter of fact, we were actually designed the exact opposite. Our system is specifically set up not to pay people who are not in our system. And so we had to build a system. When I say a system, I'm talking about an actual computer program, which is very complicated in this case, that will go in there, verify the identity, be able to intake all this information, which people have to upload, like, because we have no information on these individuals. We don't know what kind of income they've been making, where they've been making, and all that's got to be verified. And then take that information in all of its different forms and come up with a way to come up with a benefit amount. See, normally we would just use your reported wages for regular UI that the employer's been sending us, and then it's easy for us to take and figure out your benefit amount. But we've got to take all this stuff that people are sending us and then verify and come up with a benefit amount and then start sending out a check. It's a very cumbersome process, quite frankly. And I do believe that the government should have reimbursed every one of these people that have been affected that are self-employed. But I don't think the unemployment system was probably the best delivery method.
They kind of dumped it in your lap, didn't they, to come up with a system to be able to pass this federal money out, didn't they?
Yeah, and the thing is, since we didn't have any of the information on these people because they would never report it to us. I mean, we're not the IRS. We don't have your tax information, any of it. But the IRS does. And I personally thought that since the IRS could more easily identify somebody who was self-employed by how they're filing, that would have been a better method to help make those people whole, and which they should have done. But that's not how it is, and that's what, this is where we are. So, but we figured it out, and we were actually one of the very first states to actually get a working PUA system in place and operational and paying people out. Matter of fact, I just talked to, actually it was a legislator who has a daughter or a son in Virginia, and they're self-employed on PUA, and they still haven't received, they haven't been able to apply, I don't think.
Even apply at this point. And we understand there's still federal money left for the self-employed. Commissioner, we want to get back to you on that and a few other things in just a moment, including a question. What if you're just finally getting around to applying for unemployment? Let's say you've been out of work for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Do you get back pay? I want to talk to Labor Commissioner about Mark Butler about that and much more. Scott Slade along with Mark Arab and your news, weather, and traffic team here in Atlanta's Morning News. A special hour, coronavirus for Georgia Job Stand. Let's bring you up to date on what's happening now in the morning drive and what's coming in the weather.
As coronavirus ravages our economy, thousands of Georgians are forced to file for unemployment at a record rate.
95.5 WSB brings you experts with helpful information and advice to go through the process.
Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. Here's Scott Slade.
Along with Mark Arab, Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler this morning as his department continues to work through more than 2 million claims seeking unemployment benefits in Georgia. They've gone to a lot of them, and Commissioner, thanks again for joining us this morning. I want to bring on Sean in Ackworth, who has a question that might point to one of the biggest trouble spots you guys have in processing some of these claims. Hey, Sean, what's your question for the commissioner?
I believe there's some fraudulent activity on my daughter's account or with her Social Security number. I keep getting statements from the Department of Labor, and I've been trying to contact the fraud division, and I was wondering, the number that I have that y'all have on your website, I can't get in touch with anybody.
Right, and that has to do with the fact that we have a high call volume every single day, and you know, even though we have the ability to take 65,000 calls a day, we're exceeding that a lot of cases. However, there is an online form to report if you think that fraud has been committed. And if you're looking at probably the easiest way to find it is look under the employer tab and look on the online services, and near the bottom, you can report instances of fraud and put all the information in there, and then it will be looked at too.
Now, apparently his daughter is employed but getting mail regarding her benefits. So they're pretty confused. It's almost as if it sounds like an identity theft. How big a problem is fraud for you guys? Are you uncovering a lot of that, or is it just a small percentage?
Well, I mean, right now everything seems like a lot larger number when you magnify everything by literally 100 times what it normally is. But no, I mean, we are catching instances of fraud, and you got to remember that over the last several years, you've had a lot of identity theft, and where people's Social Security numbers and things like that have been stolen from different data breaches, and all that's been sitting around waiting for an opportunity to be used. We're not seeing it on a widespread scale like it's been reported in some other states, but we have caught several instances where people have tried to use other people's identity to try to file for unemployment. I may have said this on a previous show here, where we actually had 95 individual claims filed that were all set up to pay into this same checking account, which obviously was not the case.
That's a dead giveaway. Commissioner, stay with us. We got more questions for you after we break for news at the top of the hour here. Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. More on how to get benefits if you're self-employed. And what if you're just getting around to filing a claim? Can you get back on insurance benefit pay? WSB News Time is 8:58.
As coronavirus ravages our economy, thousands of Georgians are forced to file for unemployment at a record rate.
95.5 WSB brings you experts with helpful information and advice to go through the process.
Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. Here's Scott Slade and Mark Arum.
Great to be with you. Along with Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler has been very available and transparent to answer as many of your questions as possible here in a system that is still plowing through an unprecedented mountain of claims. And Commissioner, with 165,000 initial jobless claims in the past week for Georgia, does that bring us to over 2 million now and around 40% of Georgia's workforce? Are my numbers right?
Well, you really don't use unemployment claims being filed as your metric for that, because you really have to take a look at the validated claims because you're going to have a lot of duplicates. Remember, everybody who's going to be qualified for PUA, they're going to have a valid regular claim. They're also going to have a valid PUA claim. And so in that case, you've already got built-in duplicates right there. But the thing is, the reason why we report claims is every one of those claims has to be worked. So we have some people that have filed like five or six claims in a row, which those are the people that are having trouble getting paid, because once you file more than one regular claim, our system kind of flags your claim until a person looks at it to make sure somebody is not, you know, using your information and trying to file a fraudulent claim like we were talking about earlier.
So that's hands on. Every claim gets individual attention from a human being at your department. Is that the bottom line?
Well, some of them do. We have used a lot of technology and leveraged a lot of technology, and some claims are being auto-processed based on how they're being filed and what's being put in the claim. For example, all the employer file claims, those are being handled without a person having to look at them unless it ends up being an issue. Like a common issue, we helped a lady the other day, she had an employer file claim and she hadn't got paid 6 weeks, which is unusual. But when we looked into it, we found out that the employer had misfiled her. She had the wrong name with the Social Security number. And so in our system, she didn't even exist. But once we got that fixed and got the information put in the right spot, she got paid pretty quick. I mean, right now, I think if you really looked at the numbers, you're probably looking at probably maybe 20 to 25% of the total workforce. I think it's probably getting closer to a more accurate number. But even then, you know, you're kind of doing an estimate.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. You know, no one's pointed that out. I appreciate you doing that. My colleague Mark Arum checks in as well this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Commissioner. I really appreciate you doing this. I have a question from a loyal listener. She's a widow, and she wanted me to ask you this. She filed for unemployment on April 10th, and her claim didn't get put into the system till the 29th. And still hasn't heard anything and tried to get someone on the phone. What kind of expectations can she see about her claim or getting in touch with somebody?
Well, I'm assuming what you're telling me, she's saying that it finally got processed either on the 28th or it got some type of approval. It told her that, okay, there's an amount here. Well, as long as she's certified, she probably should see something pretty soon, unless there's an issue that we need more information from her, in which case then, I know it's hard to get in touch with us, but keep trying. They are getting to the people. They are working through the list and doing the callbacks.
If there is an issue, though, not just with her claim, but if something comes up, is the onus on the applicant to get in touch with you, or will your office reach out and contact someone and say, hey, we're missing this information, or this is why the claim is being held up?
It's going to depend on the issue. Sometimes if it's an issue that we don't know about, then they're going to have to get in touch with us. If something that we notice, we'll send them a notification. It's going to depend. There's three or four dozen different things that can happen out there to hold up a claim. And some of that, we'll be reaching out, in which there's a notice on there that says, if we need more information, we'll reach out to you. But like if somebody went out there and they filed a claim and then they didn't hear anything and they got nervous and decided, well, I'm going to file another claim just to make sure. We're not going to know about that at first, in which case, eventually, they're going to call us and kind of go, hey, why am I not getting paid? And we're going to look at it, and we're going to see that we've got multiple claims in there, and then we'll have to manually remove one of those or combine them in order to get that fixed and get that person paid. There's a lot of different reasons why somebody may not be getting paid. Generally speaking, if they did the claim correctly and they filled out everything correctly, it goes fairly smoothly. Like one of the things that we've seen some people do that were laid off due to COVID-19 reasons, they actually put down in their reason for separation is termination, which in our vocabulary, that means you were fired for cause. That person is going to be held up because they're going to have to have a hearing now with them and their employer to determine why they were actually let go. We've actually seen that hold up some people's unemployment because once that gets put in there that you were terminated, we need to find out why you were terminated. Was it because you broke the rules or whatnot? And we've had a couple of cases where once we talked to the person, they went, well, no, I mean, they shut down because of COVID-19. Well, why did you put down terminate? They go, well, I don't know. I guess I felt like I got terminated.
I think that's probably a problem with so many first-time filers, right, that haven't done this process before. It's, a learning experience to figure out what you should do and how you should do it.
For sure.
Yeah, we've tried to put out there that, if you got shut down for COVID-19, that use the COVID-19 reason. And that's because those we actually can get to and go through faster.
Oh, so there's a COVID-19 box. Okay. What about the scenario? Let's say that I lost my job on April 1st, and I've been reluctant to apply for benefits, but now I've just got to. And here we are at May 29th. Can I apply for back benefits, or does it just start from the minute I'm approved?
Yes, you can get back benefits. You just need to make sure that you can document when you were actually let go. And one of the things that we're concerned about is because there's a lot of things being put out there on the internet that are kind of false. Like, let's say, well, you know, this benefit is good all the way back till, and so people will try to look at those dates and they will try to file and get more unemployment benefits than they're supposed to. Just please remember that, you know, at some point we do checks throughout the year, depending on when your employer sends in your wage reports. And if you go in and you claim a week for unemployment that you actually got paid for, that will show up down the line. And we will want that money back. So make sure that when you do those back weeks, that you're not asking for a week that you got paid for. For example, like if you got severance pay, that's something else that can also hold up your payment that a lot of people don't know, because we need to talk to you and find out how much your severance is. And then we actually determine how many weeks that should cover you based on what you made before. And once that hearing is established, then we can set up when your unemployment benefits start.
Okay. Let's take a call here. Line six, Cimarron in Dawsonville. Hi, you're on WSB with Labor Commissioner Mark Butler. Have we got you there, Cimarron? I think we don't. All right. Let's try line seven. Cindy is in Fayetteville listening to us this morning. And Cindy, you have a question about the reason your payments might have stopped?
Yes. Yes. I was approved for the PUA as a gig worker. I received a letter on May 2nd. And then I received four payments into my account on May 5th. I've continued to certify on the PUA gig workers side of the unemployment website every week and have not worked at all, 6 hours total between the last since April 22nd. And I've logged that with my certification. But since then, I have not received any other payments. And then on May 22nd, I got a second letter in the mail, again, saying that I am approved, but I'm still continuing to certify on the PUA side, and I'm still not receiving any payments. And I'm wondering, you know, why I haven't gotten anything since those first four checks that were deposited into my account on May 5th.
Now, on the PUA system, there's a set of questions in the certification. Have you changed in the manner in which you've been answering those questions, any at all, from those first four?
You know, the first time when it said, like in the very, very, very beginning, when I started filling that out, it said, are you still employed? And I guess I got confused in one and hit yes and couldn't get out of it. And it was because I work part-time as a gig worker for an employer, and she calls me in, 3 hours here, 3 hours there. And so, you know, yes, I was still sort of working for her, but she only needs me, you know, I only get to work for her when she needs me, because the scope of my employment is that my employer takes me into hospitals and we do sales in the hospitals and I make commission. Well, obviously, for reasons of the COVID, we have not been able to go into any hospitals for the last 2 months because nobody's allowed in other than regular, you know, hospital workers. So I've made no money. And so, you know, if she calls me, yes, I go to work for her, but she hasn't been able to call me because there's nothing for her to have me do.
So did you have some weeks that you did report some income while you were claiming?
I did. There were 2 weeks.
Okay.
I reported $54 each of those 2 weeks, and that was
And that was under the threshold. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, one of the issues that we run into on the PUA system is, because remember, that's a federal system that we're administering for them. They actually instituted some stops in some certain areas, and thank you for being honest about how you're filling yours out, because a lot of people aren't. In the case where it shows up sometimes where somebody has received pay, there's a stop and they want us to take a look at that. So a human being will look at that and then yours should get started back up. They just want to make sure that, you know, you're not making more than what you're supposed to and you're still supposed to be getting it. In our other system, it shouldn't be doing that at all for regular unemployment because we have it going there and you would put in your $55, we would see that you're under the $300 threshold and it would just keep right on clicking along. So that may be what stopped yours. But we're working with the Feds about some of the questions and the rules they have for those questions and making them understand that there's some unnecessary stops that are creating some unnecessary work that should not be in there. And they're starting to listen. Let's hope that yours gets cleared up pretty quick.
Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler, that helps. This all helps. More questions for the commissioner with Scott Slade and Mark Aram and you. Coming up on Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. WSB News Time is 9:16.
As coronavirus ravages our economy, thousands of Georgians are forced to file for unemployment at a record rate.
95.5 WSB brings you experts with helpful information and advice to go through the process.
Coronavirus, where Georgia's jobs stand. Here's Scott Slade and Mark Aram.
Welcome back to the show. Honored to be joined by Georgia Labor Commissioner Mark Butler, answering your questions about what is going on with the unemployment situation here in Georgia. Commissioner, I'm on WSBRadio.com, and we've got this thing going on called Atlanta is Hiring, where local businesses can post jobs, and we've got a ton of them open and posted on the website. I had a caller to my show the other day. He owns a restaurant. He can't get anyone to fill his positions. There are jobs out there. Are people going out and filling them? Are you seeing people that had unemployment claims and now finding employment and backing out of the system?
It depends. On the employer file claims, we're probably seeing a better response when the employer calls them back and stops filing because their job has started back up. Or sometimes they also keep filing if their employees come back, if they're coming back at lower wages and they still can qualify for some. But I think you are going to see some issues with people going back to work, especially if they, have gotten unemployment. With the extra $600 in there, some of these jobs, I think you're going to see a hard time filling those back up. And so that's going to be a concern. We are getting calls from a lot of employers that are having some issues getting people to fill some of their jobs right now.
Is that partially because of the federal benefits on top of the state benefits that are, jacking some of these weeks? So what's $900 a week?
Right. I mean, if you're talking about state benefits, the average that we're seeing pay out right now is a little bit under $300. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter how much you get from the state or on PUA. As long as you get $1 from either one of those two systems, you qualify for the additional $600. And so if you're actually getting the maximum amount from the state of Georgia at $365, then, you're going to be sitting right at $1,000 a week right now. That's a pretty rich benefit. That can be a deterrent for some people to want to go back to a job where maybe they were only making, $700 a week.
Yeah. Well, it sure could. We've got Greg in Atlanta standing by on line five, Commissioner. And Greg, you had a question about some folks who are actually working and still getting benefits. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I have two full-time employees. We haven't laid anybody off. I have 25 employees. I have two that has filed for unemployment. I responded. The Department of Labor is giving them the unemployment for lack of work and for non-response time. And even though I filed online, have confirmation numbers with the answer within 5 days before they were due, are they still going to give them the unemployment? I have one that resigned 8 years ago, and the unemployment is going to be given for lack of work, even though I uploaded the resignation letter 5 days ahead of the response time.
Right. Have you had your hearing yet?
There was no hearing. They sent me a letter saying they were going to pay them.
There should be a hearing when you appeal that. There's two things you can do.
I did appeal.
All right, you appeal. Okay, at that point there'll be a hearing in which you can establish all that. Also, and especially in the second case you told me, and I was just told that we moved the fraud online fraud reporting to our front page under the spotlight section. I would definitely report that person as trying to commit fraud. What's going to happen? I mean, once they had that hearing, they're going to go back and then they'll have a redetermination of what will end up happening to those individuals once it's determined they shouldn't be getting it at the hearing, even though they've gotten paid. we'll ask for that money back and go and get it from them. So when individuals do try to do these types of things, thinking they're going to get away with it, at some point it's going to catch up to them. And, you know, if they've been collecting for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and come to find out it was a fraudulent claim or they shouldn't have been collecting because they either had a job or, you know, returned that, whatever, they will be asked to pay it back. They don't get to just keep the money. And in this case, that could be a large sum.
Commissioner, we got about a minute left here, and I want to spend this time perhaps on letting you talk to our listeners on behalf of all your workers, how they can best file a claim that will go the smoothest.
Well, first of all, make sure that you look and you read through the directions very carefully, and make sure you're very honest about the reasons for the reason why that you are having to file your unemployment. If your employer filed or your employer had to shut down because of COVID-19, then you need to use that reason. You know, or if it was some other kind of reason, you know, put it in there. But the vast majority right now are going to be affected by COVID-19, and that's how you should do that. We're actually going to we're adding some additional video resources here very soon to help people with some of this. But make sure also you go online, read the instructions thoroughly, not only the instructions on how to file the claim, but what to do afterwards. Especially when you're talking about going in there and certifying your weeks, make sure you're doing that. And whatever you do, be very careful about what you read on the internet. Like they say, well, if you don't hear anything in a couple of days, you know, file another claim. Don't do that. Multiple claims will mess up your filing. So don't do that.
That helps. Commissioner Mark Butler, thanks for spending this time with us this morning. Folks, we're going to get the names and numbers of those of you who are on hold, and the Department of Labor will call you back. Thank you for participating this morning. Mark Arum for Eric Von Hessler at We Update Today's Top Stories on WSB. I'm Scott Slade. Have a great weekend.